As one of America's largest financial services companies, Nationwide supports financial professionals with client-friendly resources and innovative solutions to help create greater retirement security for their clients. Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The Bloomberg Futures Report brought to you by Interactive Brokers and CME Group. If you're looking for global futures contracts with low trading costs, look no further. Interactive Brokers is the industry leader. Learn more at interactivebrokers.com/CME Group. U.S. stock index futures are higher, signaling the S&P 500 will recover from a decline as rising commodity prices offset a tepid start to the first quarter earnings season. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P E-mini futures are higher, up 2 points. They have trimmed their gains. Dow E-mini futures up 11. NASDAQ E-mini futures up 1. And the DAX in Germany is up about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32. The yield 1.75%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 20 cents to $40.57 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $3.90 at $1,261.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.1388. The yen, 108.36. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Tom and Mike.
Karen, thanks so much. We are with Anthony Crescenzi, which is important because, Mike, it's not about quoting the 10-year yield 1.75%. It's when a long-term piece is 2 years, and there's lots of other short-term stuff as well.
Tony, you know, looking at 2 years, that's definitely the long bomb these days. When you see headlines about oil, when you see headlines about the economy, we're getting a lot of reaction in the currency markets. We're getting a lot of reaction in the equity markets, but we're not getting a lot of reaction in the bond markets. We've been becalmed in a range for quite some time. What's it going to take to push U.S. rates out of that range?
Janet Yellen's main contention for holding off on interest rate hikes, and markets seem to buy it, she says that there's a lot of slack remaining in the labor market, and that the proof of this is in the low pace of wage gains and slow rates of inflation that we see. And her argument is bolstered significantly recently by a substantial increase in the U.S. labor force. She said for a long time that there's some cyclical component to the decrease in the labor force. Many people after the financial crisis seem to leave it. But lately, near 2 million person surge in 4 months in the labor force. Now, for perspective, the average monthly gain the last 3 years prior to that was 70,000. 70,000 per month. And here was 2 million people, roughly, entering the labor force, which is to say there are a lot of people, perhaps, on the sidelines that could come back in and compete for jobs and compete for wages and keep inflation down. And so when we see headlines on oil and such, we think of Janet Yellen in her contention about there being significant slack still, perhaps, in the labor market. And until the labor data change, let's say the jobs rate falls more, or wage figures pick up, or inflation data. And today there were price figures on imported prices. It was for the first time since March 2015. That's the sort of thing that might change things.
I just put out on Bloomberg Radio Plus, and I will use this chart on television tomorrow. Mike, the ECI all-in benefits wages statistic at 2%, and it is absolutely smack dab on the 7-year moving average. Now, 7 is arbitrary. But the point is, Tony and Mike, pick this up, please. We had a wage growth we used to believe in until 08. Is this entire debate, including Yellen's debate on Slack, about a hope and a prayer, Mike McKee, of getting back to a wage growth from another time and place? We may not.
We may not. And that, I guess, is kind of the question out there, Tony, is what's it going to take? Is there an automatic connection between slack and wages, or is it based more on the type of jobs these days?
Well, in reading the minutes to the Fed's March 16th meeting, you see that FOMC participants are losing confidence in their own Phillips curve analysis, which is to say that this relationship between growth and inflation, because they've seen such a long period of time, as Tom, you mentioned, if the ECI is at its seven-year moving average, and if today the job situation is far better than it was on average during the 7 years, one would think the ECI would be a little higher, yet it's not. And so there is some weakening in confidence of Fed officials. What really shows it, demonstrates it most, is the Fed's own projection of its neutral rate, the rate where it's neither pressing on the gas or the brakes for the economy. 4 years ago, the Fed projected that that rate, and historically it's been 4.25, and in the latest summary of economic projections from March 16th, available on the Fed's website, it shows the figure at 3.25. So the Fed is itself believes that the relationship has broken down a bit. And this is, importantly, even as the Fed's projecting that, and its staffers, that U.S. growth will stay above potential for the next 2.5 years at least, which is to say, grow faster than its ability to grow and continue to drive the jobless rate down, probably into the mid to low fours at some point. And so it has changed. What could change it, though, who knows? After the election, let's think Warren Buffett-like. Don't bet against America. There are certainly interesting political campaigns occurring now.
Is this a cyclical flailing about trying to find footing, or is the idea that some have advanced of stagflation or secular stagnation set in?
Well, given how the U.S. economy has reshaped itself in the last 7 years, 8 years, and reinvented itself, you could say, and there's still a lot of innovation occurring in the technology sector, for example, one probably shouldn't bet against America. And here we are on the cusp of an election that could be important to changing things. Both sides of the aisle seem to want, for example, a cut or a change in the corporate tax code, cut in tax rates or change in the code. And who knows, maybe that'll give companies incentives to invest more and raise productivity. And that's the big missing ingredient in the productivity data. It shows it. Because what drives productivity is people, things, stuff, plants, equipment, et cetera, and how it all gets used. And the data show it's a lack of investment in stuff that's leaving productivity low. And if it were to increase as a result of increased confidence next year, that leaves little more income for people, and maybe we do get better wage figures next year.
Tony, always thought-provoking. Tony Crescenzi PIMCO.
Mike.
Greatly appreciate it. I just put that chart out on Twitter. I'll feature that tomorrow. That is the ultimate Sanders-Trump, Trump-Sanders chart, where we were and where we are now on wage growth taken on a logarithmic y-axis, which is what Meb Faber does, among others. It's Bloomberg Surveillance.
We're counting you down to the opening bell, brought to you by the Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. The Grand Cherokee continues to raise the bar with its luxurious interior and legendary 4x4 capability. Drive one at your local Jeep dealer today.
This is Bloomberg Surveillance.
I think the currency is beginning to shift its focus from nominal short-term interest rate differentials to real short-term interest rate differentials.
The yen is an example of something that's been universally hated for the past 4 or 5 years.
Any improvement in the outlook would give rise to a stronger funds rate path. Any firming of confidence in inflation getting to 2% would do the same.
Bloomberg Surveillance, your link to the world of economics, finance, and investment on Bloomberg Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Michael McKee and Tom Keene. We welcome all of you worldwide. Bloomberg Surveillance, Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 1130 New York, 99.1 FM in Washington, 960 the Bay Area, San Francisco, and a good morning to all of you. Sirius and XM channel 119 worldwide, nationwide, I should say, and across Canada as well. We need to look at foreign exchange, a big shift there from yen to euro specific. The Forex Brief brought to you as always by Interactive Brokers, winner of FX Week's 2015 award for the best retail forex trading platform. Visit IB at IBKR.com/Forex. IBKR.com/, I say. Good guitar player. /Forex as well. Let's look at foreign exchange. Euro, I said, a 114 and elevated. We've pulled back 113.83. The yen, 108.44. Mike, you're raising your hand over there.
Yes, we have the IMF WEO out.
The WEO.
World Economic Outlook, and the outlook ain't so great. They're cutting their forecast for 2016 global growth to 3.2% from 3.4%.
Look at Brazil.
They're lowering numbers for many countries around the world. Brazil shrinking. That's a contraction number of 3.8%, more than the contraction of 3.5% that they had forecast. IMF, you were talking about the essays that come along with it. They're writing about Brexit.
Yes.
It could create severe regional and global damage. And they also say a fragile world economy needs monetary stimulus. So keep going, central banks, who's one of the guards.
The Japan headline as well, again, talking about specific national policy, Japan to slide into contraction next year on consumption tax. So the IMF opining on tax policy as well. One thing that's percolating, I saw Barclays report with great caution, Michael McKee, on Greece. That reminded me of our Malkoutsis interview in Greece the other day.
Greece coming back into the news as we get closer to the summer. By the way, the IMF U.S. forecast 2.4% growth. Mm-hmm. That's two-tenths lower than they had seen in January.
He has a list IMF level. It's our World Stock Report right now from the Blue Book of David Wilson. What do you got?
Well, you got to start with Alcoa. I mean,
first one out. Yeah.
First one out and not well received. Alcoa shares down about 3.5%. The aluminum maker's first quarter revenue trailed the average analyst estimate in the Bloomberg survey, though adjusted earnings beat projections. Now, Alcoa cut this year's sales estimate for its auto and aircraft parts business, which will become a standalone company called Arconic.
So that's IMF-y. Arconic?
Arconic.
That sounds like two MBAs made that up. You know,
well, they announced the name last month. You can go find out where they came up with
next.
It, I guess.
Mondelez.
All right. Yeah, right. Some analyst calls of note. Starbucks is down 2.5%. The largest coffee shop chain was cut to whole from by Deutsche Bank. The firm cited Starbucks' valuation and challenging sales comparisons. L Brands down 2.5%. The retailer was reduced to neutral from buy at Goldman Sachs and taken off a list of the firm's top picks. Goldman also, on the other hand, raised its rating on the glass product maker Corning to buy from neutral, and Corning shares are up 2%. Back to earnings. Juniper Networks down 6.5%. Preliminary first quarter results showed the networking equipment maker's earnings and sales failed to meet estimates. And it isn't just Juniper that's lower. You're seeing Cisco Systems, one of their rivals, down about 1.5%. Horizon Pharma down 19%. The drug maker sales estimate for the first quarter indicated that revenue will be lower than projections. And Fastenal is down 3.5%. The industrial distributor's first quarter earnings and revenue came up short of estimates. Fastenal's daily sales were unchanged in March after rising 2.6% in February. You're that excited, Tom.
No, that's like FedEx. To me, Fastenal is a bellwether. A bellwether, I say.
For a big piece of the
industrial
economy.
Yeah.
No question.
We make jokes about it, but it is.
Right, and they're the only company in the S&P 500 that has reported earnings so far today. So we'll have another set of results later
on. You
gotta
love their stock symbol.
Fast.
I want to go long fast.
Right. CSX, by the way, will be out after the close of trading. Couple more for you. Tiffany up 2%. The luxury jewelry retailer agreed to expand its online business by selling some items through the website Net-a-Porter. And Marathon.
Is that how you pronounce that?
Well, it's French, after all.
Very good.
Prêt-à-porter, Net-a-porter. You get it? Anyway, Marathon Oil up 2.5%. The energy producer selling assets, mostly in Wyoming, for a total of $950 million. They're raising cash in response to lower oil and gas prices.
Fast to know. Winona, Minnesota.
You just got me, you know, obviously when you say you want to go long fast, it just triggered in my mind. I just looked up. Who has the ticker symbol long? You want to go long. You're buying a travel service company in the People's Republic of China. It's an ADR in the U.S.
You wonder how often that happens. Winona County, Minnesota, in the southeasternly corner, on the bluffs above the Mississippi.
Well, you just, get...
I must confess, I haven't been to Minnesota. I'll have to get there one of these days.
Winona's, you know, that's a different part of Minnesota.
You get long fast, and I'll get long long.
Very good. It's like Abbott and Costello, which means we need to bring in Anthony Crescenzi of PIMCO for a serious conversation on liquidity and where we are right now. Tony, to start things off, if we get the terminal value that so many are talking about, your Scott Mather and Michael Feroli at J.P. Morgan, then if we get a terminal value sub 2%, what's the two-year yield supposed to be?
When do you expect that 2% to be reached, Tom?
I don't know.
That's part of it.
I agree.
And it also depends on whether market participants, when it gets to 2, are thinking it might get to 3. So it really depends on speed at which we move toward 2 and whether markets think there's more. If the markets think the Fed's done and there's a rate cut coming when that time comes, the rate could be lower than 2. So it really depends, but it will move up. It probably, historically, you could, would say in a rate hike cycle, the 2-year would trade about 100 basis points over the funds rate in anticipation of more, and even as high as 200 over, but those days are gone. So it probably would stay as it is now above the funds rate as it's moving up. And just how much depends on how much the markets expect there'll be from that point.
Well, what do markets expect at this point, and how much credibility, how much weight should we put on what markets expect now? Because they seem to change their view every time a Fed official opens their mouth or an inflation report comes out.
Well, markets aren't expecting very much. About 1/4 point rate hike per year the rest of this decade. That's very little. And sure, markets have changed their minds, but hasn't the Fed? I think last year it guided market participants into thinking that there could be as many as 4 rate hikes. Remember, in the quarterly summary of economic projections that the Fed produces, the median of projections of FOMC participants, the 17 that attended the Fed's FOMC meetings, had said there would be 4. Yeah. And then Janet Yellen in her presser last year seemed to suggest that perhaps that would be possible. Now the Fed's guiding toward 2. And so markets, while seeming fickle, it's in part because the communications from the Fed have been changed a bit.
Tony, the 17 people in Washington have read the 1,200 pages of Stigam's Money Market. Which you did a lot to bring forward, Marcia Stigam and Anthony Crescenzi. This is the Bible, folks, on money market. So you're qualified for this question.
The doorstopper.
It is the doorstopper. What's the risk-free rate?
What is the risk-free rate? It depends on the entity and his or her, its desire to protect money, to guard money, to preserve.
Do you know
principle.
What that rate is? If Scott Mather walks in right now and says, hey, wise guy, what's the rate? I can't get a straight
answer
out of anybody.
Why would he call Tony from Staten Island, New York, a wise guy?
That would be true. But
no
seriously,
idea.
Nobody has a clue what the risk-free rate is, right?
It's become difficult to judge. But think in part this way. Think of normal, everyday, ordinary human beings, the aging populations of the developed world. We know in the United States, baby boomers, those born between 1946 and 64, began turning 65 in 2011. They'll continue until 2029, and the throng of 65-plus-year-olds will grow from 45 million today to about 72 million. Think of those individuals and what's risk-free to them. As we get older, we have a desire to be higher in the capital structure is the fancy way of saying it, which is another way of saying we want less and less risk. We don't want to take risk in the equities markets, perhaps in high-risk credit or commodities markets or even real estate. We move higher and we move into bonds. And so that's so risk-free just depends on the objective sometimes of the...
Let's come back. I mean, with Tony Crescenzi with us, lots to talk about in the two-year yield. Futures pullback. Up 2 right now. Dow futures up a quiet 10 points this morning.
Time to check in now with Michael Barr and get the latest world and national headlines. Michael.
Mike, Tom, thank you very much. President Barack Obama, House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi, and other Democrats are speaking at a women's equality event today in Washington. It comes on Equal Pay Day. This year, April 12th is considered the day it takes most women to earn what the average man in the same job did last year. 7 out of 10 married women view Donald Trump in a negative light. That's according to a Bloomberg poll. It shows about 58% of married women have an unfavorable view of Hillary Clinton. Brazil's president is another step closer to impeachment. The congressional committee voted to approve the impeachment process against Dilma Rousseff. The full lower house could vote on an impeachment as early as Sunday. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by our 2,400 journalists and more than 150 news bureaus from around the world. I'm Michael Barr. Mike, Tom?
Michael, thanks so much. Again, the IMF out with their spring meeting look for Maurice Obstfeld and their team. Global stagnation is the phrase of the moment. We're with Tony Crescenzi of PIMCO, Bloomberg Surveillance. Stay with us.
Market Drivers brought to you by Benzo Bush Motor Car in Englewood, New Jersey, offering a commitment to service, luxury, and value with total transparency from America's premier automotive dealership. To find the way you drive at BenzoBush.com.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at AmericanExpress.com/Business Gold Card.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.